Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Hi everybody. Welcome
to the spooky season. Have you liked our new intro? New slash not new, but it's new every spooky season, I say.
I know, because we only use it for spooky season.
I know.
Mm-hmm. It's fun and nice.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool. Yeah, I'm Allie.
And I'm Bree.
And today on Off Script, where we compare books to their movies, we are doing The Mist.
By Stephen King.
Yes, found in Skeleton Crew, because it's just a bitty book.
Yeah, a tiny one.
Yeah.
Itty bitty. What's funny, so I also listened to the audiobook of this.
Oh, okay.
And I originally was gonna get The Mist, the book, but that one had a hold on it. There was like six people waiting for it. And then my brain like clicked and was like, oh yeah, it's in Skeleton Crew. Let's see if that's taken. Nope, got that easy. Went and listened to it there. I was like, this is how you do it.
That's awesome.
Why are there people waiting for The Mist?
They're probably waiting on me because I kept it the whole time. And I was like, it was like three people waiting. I was like, oh crap. Because it was like due like 2 days. I was like, I gotta listen to all this fast.
But what's dumb is why didn't they go to the Skeleton Crew?
Maybe they don't know.
Yeah, well, now you know.
Yeah.
There you go, everyone.
All right, our picture.
Sierra's coming to town in 2 days.
Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cannot wait. Oh, my God.
What?
When does your aunt get in town?
In 2 days.
Damn.
Why?
Because I was like, we could probably record a mini-sode with Sierra.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
But when does she leave?
She leaves Tuesday the 29th.
If you guys aren't tired after troll hunting all day, because my aunt leaves on Sunday.
That would be fun, because then we could come back and talk about troll hunting.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll tell her. You going on the podcast.
That'll be fun.
For a split second. You don't have to read a book. This one, you just talk to us.
That'll be fun. Yeah, let's do it. All right. That's our picture.
Yeah, Sierra's in town in 2 days, and I just signed her up to be on the mini-sode for not this week, but next week.
For those that don't know, because Bree's really good at dropping names and not explaining who they are, Sierra is her bestie from college.
Yeah, yeah. I just assume everyone's listened from the start.
I know.
I don't want to always be like, Sierra is blah, blah,
right,
blah, blah,
right.
Blah, blah.
That's fair.
But yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited. We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
We're doing a specific. Oh my God. We could talk about the Rocky Horror thing too.
Yes, you can. You can talk about a whole bunch of stuff because it'll be the end of her trip. So it's
yeah, basically.
Because we have to do a mini-sode because one comes out.
Oh yeah. That week. So guess what, Sierra? You don't listen to us. You do sometimes, but not recently.
Rude.
I know.
Like all of our friends.
Right. Well, she listens. It's just she has to be in the mood for podcasts. And a lot of times she's like, man, I don't want a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Fair. Yeah. Did I tell you about how when she was here last time, when me, her, and John went and did the Mount Rainier hike, we were like, what are we going to listen to? And Sierra said, pick one of your episodes, Brie.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
what?
Okay. I guess I'll give us those numbers.
All right. So in The Mist, we have suicide and the death of a child. So those are your trigger warnings for you.
I legit, for some reason, thought we were doing the body right now. So then you said the mist, and I was like, what?
What are you talking about?
I realized we already did the body.
Yeah, it's already released.
Yeah, it just came out yesterday from when we're recording.
Yes. All right, here's our synopsis. People head to the... People head to the local grocery store to replenish supplies following a freak storm. Once there, they are trapped by a strange mist that has enveloped the town in which strange creatures are lurking. My nose
those
is plugged.
Weird creakers.
My nose is plugged. I'm blaming that.
I love it. You sound more sick than me.
I do. Jeez Louise.
I'll take it.
Man, freaking cats.
Hey, they're the best.
So we got director Frank Darabont, mm-hmm. screenplay writer Frank Darabont.
That's kind of cool.
Audiobook reader Will Patton.
Yeah.
How'd you like him?
Oh, he was so boring. I didn't like him.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. I knew.
Oh my gosh.
I fairly quickly into it was like, oh my God. And then I was like, this is who she likes?
I freaking love him.
Yeah. No.
He's the one who did Dr. Sleep. And then he did, I read The Outsider before this. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to it next week. But in The Outsider, he talks about there's a baseball boy. And I'm like, why does that sound so familiar? Because in Dr. Sleep, there's a baseball boy. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I look it up and he's read a bunch of Stephen King books. And so I was so excited when he read this one too. I can't believe you didn't like him.
No, he was so boring to me. I was like,
gosh.
There were times where I spaced out in this book and I was like, oh shit. And like, I would rewind a little bit. I'm going to need your help a lot in the book. But there were parts because like I would rewind and be confused, rewind some more, be even more confused, rewind.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, Allie takes the notes on the book. I have to remember the movie.
Yes, that's all you have to do. Oh,
but
man.
I did read it, everyone. I would like to say that I remembered bits and pieces and I have my notes. Some of them I just might be like, oh, that did actually happen. Never mind.
Yeah, you made a video actually. But I'm like, no, I put it in because she made it, but she's wrong.
There's a chance.
So the book came out in 1980, the movie in November 21st, 2007. That's 27 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm. I actually remember when it came out.
I don't.
I do because my uncle went and saw it and knew it was a movie that was in like my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And that was like, I actually think we graduated in 2010. So this was like right around the time when I was like going up to Arizona often, especially because like I started touring campuses and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And he was talking to me about it because he was like, did you see it? And I was like, no. And he was like, I was really disappointed in it. I was like, oh, good. I won't see it then.
And now you
did. Now I watched it.
And so what'd you do first?
I watched it first.
I read it first. No, I watched it first.
Oh, duh, yeah. That felt weird coming out of my mouth. I was like, wait, why?
You guys, this season, we made mistakes.
Oh, my God. I don't know why I ever did that. Okay, so I always read the book first. And I just thought that was because I'm such a book lover that I've always been like, I have to read the book first. And so this was the first season where when I sat down and was like, okay, like, there's a lot of these that I haven't done either or before. And then I like sat there and I was like, okay, I'm going to read them all first. And I was like, that's kind of unfair to Allie. Allie should get some of those, like, because it's fun when you get that, even though there are plenty of movies that I have seen that are adapted into books that Allie will then have to read before I watch them. But instead, this season, I read it first for me, like a majority of the season. So I was like, I'm going to pick and choose which ones I'm reading first. I'm going to let Allie read the other ones first. Oh my God, I will never do that again.
Because you guys, she watches it first because she has to. Then she reads it. And then she either has to remember as she's reading the differences or she has to go watch it again. And one
which
of the,
is very time consuming.
One of the ones she did is next week's, which is The Outsider, which is a show.
Yeah. Actually, I think I'm going to be fine at watching it because how we're recording and everything, we are going to be 2 weeks ahead of when The Outsiders releases.
Okay.
And I only have like 120 pages left of the book.
Okay.
So I could honestly start watching the show right now if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I also, the time that I could use to watch the show is the time that I could use to read the book. So I'm kind of like picking and choosing.
Like laundry or something.
Exactly. Because I don't super need to be watching it. I remember the bigger things.
Yeah.
That are different, and like I'm getting to where everything's pretty much different.
Yeah.
In the book.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I've got notes. I've got plenty of notes. I don't think it's gonna be as long as you're making it seem.
No, I don't think it's gonna be long because it's gonna be that didn't happen. Instead, this happened.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be like
Allie just gets to feel the pain that I always feel.
It is. It's such a different we'll talk more about it next week.
Yeah. Yeah. But good God, I'm never doing that again.
No, I don't blame you.
Because it's been hard.
Yeah.
It's been so... I realized... I can't remember which one it was way before this. But there was one that was a movie where I watched it. And then, like, a month later, I read the book. And I was like, I can't remember if I'm just remembering this wrong or if I'm, like... picturing this happening in the movie and it doesn't happen.
Right.
And I was like, and we have to record this tomorrow. Yes. And I don't have time to watch that movie. So we'll go from there. And that's when I realized, I was like, I'm not going to do that again. I will be reading the books from now on unless I've already seen the movie.
Yes.
especially since what's even stupider is like, think about it. You take notes on the books. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it makes sense that, like, you watch the movie first. You don't have to take your notes. Then you read your book. There's your notes. Mm-hmm. Me, if I read the book first and I watch the movie second, I'm taking my notes during the movie.
Because it's nice, too, with if I've seen it first, because then I'm like, okay, that didn't even, like...
Don't need those notes. That was when you were talking about... I think it was The Outsider when you were starting your notes for The Outsider and how you were worried about the magicians. You said it and I was like, well, duh, the magicians, you already know what you need to take notes on. And then it clicked. I was like, ooh, I really screwed this up. Like, what was I thinking?
Yep. So it should be interesting.
Yeah. And then it's also hard because when I watch the movie first, my notes are based off of the book, not the movie. So then I forget what happens in the movie because I'm like taking notes like, oh, this was the book. I'm like, cool, Allie has those notes. Why did I write this down? That's been my problem with some of my notes.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah.
We're learning, you guys. Season five, but we're still learning.
Well, like I said, I felt very selfish always making me read the books first.
I think it's fair. I'm glad. You thought of me. Thank you.
Yeah, I got you. But man, that fucked us up.
Yes, it did.
So I won't do that again. I will never think of you.
Oh, gosh. All right. So what do we think of the plot of the story? I think there's so much potential.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Like, I think this and Gerald's Game should have been swapped. Gerald's Game should have been a 6-hour book. And this should be a 13-hour book.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. To me, I'm like, I almost want to never see the monsters that are in the mist or just make the like mist be mist monsters. Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I think there was more potential for this.
Yeah. So why'd we pick it?
Because I knew that it was a disappointing one based off of what my uncle had said. And I kind of... I knew that I thought Gerald's Game was horrifying from the like first 10 minutes that I saw. And then I didn't know the rest of it. So it was not as horrifying as I thought. But when scheduling it, I was like, okay, Gerald's Game and The Outsider, like Katie and Alan had both told me that The Outsider was scary as all shit.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, okay, so that's going to be a scary one, and Gerald Game going to be a scary one. I need to give us two not-so-scary Stephen Kings, too.
Yeah. All right. So I have some Allie super fun facts. Stephen King says he was genuinely frightened by this adaptation. Frank Darabont described that as the happiest moment of his career. I mean, that would be a happy moment.
Yeah, for sure. But was he frightened because he was scared of the movie or because of how
sucky it was?
Oh, no. Okay. During an action scene in the film, a man runs into a wire rotating bookshelf in the grocery store. If you look carefully, you can clearly see that all the books are Stephen King.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't pay attention.
Director Frank Darabont wanted to cast Stephen King in a supporting role, but King turned down his offer. The role eventually went to Brian Libby. I don't know which one that is.
I don't know who he is, but I wish Stephen King did it.
I know.
That would have been so cool.
Right? Stephen King got the idea for the source novel when he was in a main market, when he noticed the front window was made of plated glass. He wondered what would happen if a giant insect flew into it. That's how he came up with this idea.
And that's why we see the monsters in the mist.
This is the third film that Frank Darabont has adapted for Stephen King. The other two were Shawshank and The Green Mile.
We haven't done The Green Mile yet, but I was like, that name sounds very familiar.
Yep.
That's why. Well, that's cool.
Yep. All right. So there's this family and they're enjoying their summer day. There's been this weird thunderstorm going on, though, but whatever. But finally, dad's like, we got to go inside. So David is dad, Stephanie is mom, and Billy is their 5-year-old son. And they went into the basement and locked down for the night and they heard trees crashing through their house.
I thought in the movie it was kind of cool because the dad was, he paints movie posters. Uh-huh. And the poster he painted or was painting in the very opening scene was of the gunslinger from The Dark Tower.
Oh.
And so it was really, I thought that was a really cool, like, here you go, Stephen King. Here's your nod in your own film.
Right.
So that was cool. But then, yeah. That happens.
Except Billy's like 12.
Yeah, Billy's 12. And also, in the movie, the storm seemed very quick. Like, I felt like in the book, like, they kind of, like, got preparations made and then went down. Whereas in the movie, it was just kind of like, oh, there's a storm. Boom, here we go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning, they went exploring to look at all the damage. And there's all these live wires around. Steph freaks out when Billy gets too close. And Billy goes exploring and calls them to look at the fishing boat house. And the neighbor's tree crashed on it. And they don't get along with this neighbor due to a suing over property line. David goes to talk to him, but he hears him having trouble with the chainsaw.
They never mention the live wires in the movie. Not at all.
So he went back to Steph and she gave him a list of things to get from the store.
Okay, that's what I thought. Hold on. So in the book, he never goes and talks to the neighbor, right?
Nope. He goes and, like,
tries, but then hears him messing with
him. And so he leaves.
Yeah. No, in the movie, he full-on goes over and is like, I need your insurance info.
Yeah. So they were about to head out when their neighbor, Norton, asked if he could tag along because a tree fell on his car. And David's kind of feeling bad because it was, like, a nice car. He's like, oh, dude, that sucks. Yeah, you can come on. So, oh, that was what it was.
Yep. That he doesn't go with them. I did not remember that.
Yep.
I was like, I just knew he didn't like him and that he didn't talk to him.
Yep.
So I was like, how the fuck did, what?
So he did go. But
it makes sense.
He felt bad about the car. And so they went down. All right. We also get background on the Arrowhead Project, which is a secret military project that's happening on the mountains. And David felt very uneasy when they left. He's like, I should have stayed with Steph. And the chapter ended by saying that was the last time he ever saw his wife. So another Stephen King
shine.
Oh, yeah, that too. Maybe that's what it was.
Well, then, yeah, that happens.
Okay.
Except there's no like inner monologue. So you don't hear him say, oh, I shouldn't leave my wife.
Yeah.
And, oh, I never saw her again.
Yeah. So David tried to call Steph from the payphone at the store, but it was down. The radio stations are also down that are on the side of the mountain. And he continued to feel super uneasy. The store is swamped because there's only two workers and the registers are down. And Billy's feeling very nervous. too. And David could, when David told him, he couldn't get a hold of Stephanie.
He doesn't try to get a hold of her in the movie.
No, he does.
Oh, never mind. That happens.
All right. So there's fire truck sirens that go up the road. It's making David more nervous. And there's some army guys that walk or like shopping around the store. Yeah.
But the difference here is it's not payphones, is it? Or was there a there was a payphone. But they also have cell phones.
Yeah, I think cell phones were down. So he tried the payphone and the payphone was also down.
Okay. Whereas in the book, it would just have been telephones, payphones. Yes.
And so there's this guy with a bloody nose that runs in shouting, "There's something in the mist." And people start worrying a little and the lights go out. And then people are worrying more and people go to go outside. And Mrs. Carmody, who we learned a little about previously, is a super religious lady. She's saying, "Don't go out there. The devil is out there."
Yep. That happens.
Uh-huh. People start freaking out more, but some are like, whatever. They go in the fog to determine if it's bad or not.
You mean the mist?
Yeah. He was interchangeable, which drove me kind of crazy.
What?
In the book, he interchanged it between the fog and the mist.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of drove me crazy.
Yeah, like, that's annoying.
Pick one.
Yeah. What are you calling it, dude?
I know.
You titled the book The Mist. Just keep it The Mist.
I know. But I feel like he called it The Fog more often than The Mist.
That's annoying.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's why my notes are going to be interchangeable.
All right.
So next note. David saw someone get drugged into the mist, but he doesn't think anyone else saw it. Mrs. Carmody is preaching about death and people are yelling at her to shut up. And a woman freaks out because she needs to go home because her 8-year-old is watching her younger kid and they're by themselves and no one will escort her home. So she's like, "I hope you all rotten hell." I was like, man, why are you leaving a 8-year-old at home to watch over their younger sibling?
I mean, I feel like I was 8 when my parents were leaving me home alone.
Man,
but I also didn't have siblings.
There's no way I would leave Riley home alone right now.
I know. Isn't it weird to think about all the like differences?
Yes.
In what parents were letting us do versus what you would let your kids do now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like 10. I feel like I was 10 when that started happening.
Mm-hmm.
I could see 10. Like, because if Riley's really responsible and if I don't want to leave her home at 8.
Yeah.
Like. But then I also fair. No, the younger sibling thing threw it for me. If it was just the 8-year-old.
Yeah.
If I just had to run to, it's like crazy misty and like, you know, it might be dangerous for her to drive in the car with me and I run to QFC right up the street.
Yeah.
I probably would leave my 8-year-old home, but I don't.
If she had to take care of Tyler, no.
No way. There's no way. And
they would fight.
Especially when the lady in the book says she sometimes forgets to watch him. Yeah. I'm like, you just left her home?
Well, David doesn't see someone getting drugged into the mist, but other than that, everything else happens.
So Billy's crying and he finally falls asleep and David went to go find him a blanket. And he's back in the storage area and he smells diesel because something's blocking the generator. So he turns it off and then he hears a slippery, slimy noise and he runs out or he runs into a couple of workers because they're coming back to fix the generator. He says, "You can't go back there." And tells them what he hears and they're like, "Okay, crazy." And they go back and they're like, "Yep, the generator is blocked. We got to go outside to get whatever's in the way out of the way." And now they're arguing about who's going to go outside, this bag boy Norm or like these other guys. And David's like, "You guys are idiots. Why are you arguing about this? Stop it." And they didn't listen. They open the door and this thing with suckers comes in and starts eating the kid. And David tries to save him, but he's very unsuccessful. Very, very unsuccessful. The kid gets eaten. And the door shuts and it chops one of its little tentacles off. And the other guys are in shock and they apologize to David and he punches them. And Ollie stopped him and said, "Hey, we need to figure out how to go about this so not everyone freaks out." Makes it more chaotic.
So that all happens. Did David punch? I just thought they got in a heated argument.
I thought he punched him, but I don't know.
Okay. I think it's more of a push.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Like a shove.
Yeah. I am so glad in the book, though, that David was legit like, "You guys are idiots." Because I did not feel like he was really like, "You guys are idiots" about fighting about this in the movie.
Yeah, that's true. He wasn't.
I was like, why are y'all fighting about who's going to die? I know you don't think you're going to die, but you guys are dumb. And in the book, I felt like David was a better character because he just seemed like an idiot in the movie.
That's very true. I definitely do agree. I also pictured a very, very small store when I read it. Like you watched it first, so you probably pictured the big store.
I did.
I pictured like a very mom and pop, like we're in a small town, everyone knows each other, small store. So then when I was watching it, I was like, damn, this place is huge.
It's like our QFC huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pictured QFC style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope, I pictured very small mom and pop.
Interesting.
Little shop. Huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, David tries to get Norton to help him because he's like, he's a big lawyer. Like if he... like, he'll know how to assess all of this and be able to tell people. But Norton thinks he's tricking him. So he makes a scene and Ollie's like, no, he's telling the truth. Here, everybody, David has something to share. And he tells them that some people believe, some don't. And the store manager is pissed off because people are drinking because the guys that just watch this kid die go pop one open and just start drinking. And finally, David gets the store manager to come back and they see the tentacle that it hadn't been chopped off. But Norton wouldn't go back there. And Ollie points out the problem that the whole front of the store has glass on it. And there's even a crack in part of it. So they have to figure out how to fix it.
Yeah, that happens.
But in the movie, the tentacle like shrivels up and melts away right after the store manager freaking sees it. So no one else can see it.
Actually, doesn't it also like he pokes it and like does this like... and then it dies.
Yes. Like, oh, how convenient. So no one else can see it. Okay. So they all start talking about what happened. And Miss Carmody is preaching and freaking the kids out. And she says, what needs to be done is a blood sacrifice. And she's smacked in the face by a guy and says, she's like, someone will die tonight.
Did you catch in, I think it's The Outsider. It's gotta be. That's the book I read after this, when one of the characters said something about what is the word she's obsessed with at the end? Expatiation.
I don't remember.
One of the cops says it in The Outsider.
Oh, how funny.
I was like, oh, call back to The Mist. But that happens. Yeah. I don't.
The guy doesn't smack her, though. It's Miss Amanda, who we've already met.
Oh, yeah. It is Amanda, who we've already met, because Amanda immediately was like, oh, I'll help take care of your kid.
Yeah. Like, just met.
Now, I'm a teacher. I know.
Yeah.
And I don't really think the kids are around Miss Carmody.
There's like a couple, but there's only like two or three of them.
Yeah. It's not like how I pictured in the book. But also, I guess right here, I'll say there's a bag girl who's a part of the story who now has like a whole love story with a military guy who is also in the movie just to help with the military storyline.
Because he's not in the book.
Nope. He's not in the book. She's not in the book.
Nope.
But there's a whole when I was watching, I was like, this is so fucking random. Like, I was almost like, wait, what is happening right now? Because, like, this girl goes into a locker room. It almost felt like it was a fucking Grey's Anatomy scene. Like, oh, I'm going into the locker room. Oh, he's coming in to chit-chat. Let's gossip.
Like, start making out.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. What am I watching? Like,
oh, my gosh.
But, yeah. So, there's that.
Mm-hmm. So they put dog food and gardening bags in front of the windows and they try to figure out if anyone has a gun. And then we meet this girl named Amanda and she has one and she gives it to Ollie because he knows how to shoot. Someone else said that they had one in their car, but they didn't want to go out there. Just like everybody was like, maybe we don't need it just yet. And Billy keeps crying for his mom and someone suggests that they get a broom and tie cloth to the end and soak it in lighter fluid. And then they have torches and David's like, that's a great idea.
So most of this happens, but the whole torch thing doesn't like really happen until later.
Yeah, it's not a plan. It kind of just happens.
It's a happy coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that.
So Norton and a bunch of others decide to leave. No one could stop them. So they're like, fine. Can you at least take this rope out? It's 300 feet. Then we can see how far you get. And Norton's like, no. Another guy said he would because why not? And it seemed to be going okay until the rope started pulling super fast. And then they heard screaming. And then the rope just kind of went dead. They pulled it in and it was chewed on and frayed and bloody.
Yep, that happens.
Except they
pulled half a body back.
Yeah. Ooh, so gross. This
is nasty.
All the legs were coming back.
Seen Beetlejuice, have you?
I see the first one.
Not the second one.
Not the second one.
Well, the second one, Lydia's grandfather dies by, he was on his boat, uh-huh, and then they never found his body. But then you see him when he's going into the afterlife, and a shark has gotten to him. And so the whole top half of his body isn't there.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what it reminded me of when I saw that. I was like, Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
That night, these bug things start moving outside, and then these pterodactyl-like things start attacking the glass, and the bugs and pterodactyls are getting in, and people are spraying Raid everywhere and shooting fire with, like, fire...
shooting fire with fire.
Like, they have, like, the hairspray, yeah, and lighters and stuff. And finally, they get them out or kill them all, and everyone's officially freaked out now, as they should be.
Mm-hmm. So, in the movie... this basically happens, but when the bugs get into the shop, the little love girl, bed girl, now has this bug that comes and stings her. And oh, because the thing is she's engaged to a co-worker from the store, but the military guy was her true love, who like had gone away and came back and was like, I'm back for you. And so she was torn between two guys.
Oh, I did not even get that. I was just like, because what it was is a stupid point?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I watched it first. And I'm like, okay.
No, it was this whole stupid, because it was her fiance who saved her and like did the whole fire thing.
Okay.
Because he is now who has took the broom and made it wet with gasoline. And now basically the whole entire fucking store is on fire.
Right. It was not well planned.
Yeah. And then because of the sting, the bad girl has now like, what is it called? Swelled up.
Uh-huh.
And her face is all gross and disgusting. And military guy comes up to her and starts crying.
Yep. So in the middle of the night, Dave is getting really bad sleep. And he sees Amanda and he thinks how beautiful she is. And then he goes into a spiral about what a horrible artist he is. And Billy woke up freaking out, and Amanda's there to help calm him down.
At this point, I was kind of mad at David. I was like, dude, you know your wife is at home alone
or dead.
Why are you thinking about this girl in this way? But I was like, but it's fine. You haven't acted on anything. You're a man.
Yeah, because it was the moment back when the gun, when she first popped in, he was like, she is the most beautiful thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went on about how beautiful she is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, your wife is legit.
Mm-hmm.
At home.
Yeah. His storyline is not in the movie. And also at this point, I made a note and was like, David's rarely with Billy in the movie. Like,
yeah,
he's there for the pivotal scenes that we have in the book. Whereas in the book, David barely left his side.
Yeah. Yep.
Whereas this, he kept giving her or giving him to the little old lady.
I know.
And Amanda.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So Amanda and David went to the locked office. Mm. Oh, did I skip?
Yep,
oh,
you skipped that part.
So Ollie brought David to the back storage, and they both saw these army men hanging there dead, and they realized this has something to do with the Arrowhead Project, and they felt guilty. So they committed suicide, and they decided to take care of the bodies so no one else would find them.
That does not happen. Oh, it does?
Yeah.
I thought after this, Ollie then sets up Amanda and him coming having sex. He felt bad about what happened to the big boy.
No, this is...
I just don't remember this part.
Okay, yeah. Because this is not the army guy that what's-her-name is in love with.
No.
There were three army guys in the movie, and these were the other two that had no pertinent storyline in the movie. But in the book, there was only two, and they were the ones who died too.
I just remember in the book, this is when Ollie basically pimps David out. And does not happen in the movie. And I would prefer it to not happen in the book.
Yeah, because now Amanda and David went to the locked office and had sex. As his wife is, you know, probably being eaten by
these crazy weird. Yeah. Cool.
Then he went back downstairs and he starts talking to this guy about how they need to go to the pharmacy next door to see what they got over there. Because there were people over there. Why haven't they started coming over here? Aren't they hungry? And Mr. Carmody is starting to collect followers. And they talk. She's talking about sacrifice and how maybe, what if it could be Billy or David or what's going on? And David's like, okay, yeah, you're right. Let's go do this.
Yep. That happens.
Billy didn't want his dad to go to the pharmacy, but in the end, he was able to leave. And Amanda said, if anything goes south, you need to come back for your boy. Ms. Carmody told them the devil is going to come for all of them because, or come for all of us because of them. And someone throws peas at her. And then they walk to the pharmacy and seems to be going all right till they found a body who was ripped in half or whose head was ripped off. Yeah, same thing.
In the movie, to get Billy to be okay with him going, he's like, I'll bring you something back. And then, like, when he's in the pharmacy, he finds, like, a comic and rolls it up and puts it in his back pocket. And I was like,
they did that in the book.
That was the book? That wasn't the movie?
That was both. They didn't say it in the maybe he said it. I don't know. I thought it was just a nod because I noticed the comic roll up, right? And then when I read it, I was like, oh, he got the comic in the movie. I thought it was a cute little thing, but I don't think he told him in the movie.
Okay.
I think he's just like, I'll be back, you know, it'll be okay. And then the little roll-up comic was a nod to the book.
Because to me, I'm like, why is this something you're paying attention to? Why? Like,
because this kid was scared, so he saw a comic right there, so he grabbed it for him.
I guess.
I thought it was sweet.
But also, I mean, I guess pharmacies probably back then would have things like that. But to me, a pharmacy literally just has medicine and nothing for kids. So I'm like, what? You want some Advil, child?
I know.
Here you go.
I've never seen a comic book at a pharmacy before.
Yeah, so that's what got me.
Maybe like, in 87 or whenever this was written, they had it.
That's what I was thinking, but that's all I could think was, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're not allowed to listen to books anymore that have Will Patton reading them, because, oh my gosh. I love him.
I don't. It was so boring.
Oh my god.
It was so hard.
He's a real-time actor, too.
What's funny is I like him in the movies, because we pulled him up and I looked at his IMDb. I like him in the movies.
How funny.
He just doesn't. He's just so.
I thought he did so great.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Can't stand him.
Oh, man. What is wrong with you?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Nope. It was very boring for me.
So good.
Okay.
Anyways, so they get to the pharmacy and they're looking around and they see all this white stuff and then they see dead bodies and then one of their people starts screaming and they realize it's spider webs and this guy gets drug off and dies. And they're trying to figure out what to do and they start running to save one another and then in the end they got back to the place, but 7 went out and 3 came back.
Do all the spiders pop out in the book like they do in the movie?
I don't remember if they come out of bodies and stuff. There's a bunch of spiders.
Here, it was fucking disgusting.
It was gross.
Like, holy fuck. That's horrible. But then later on, when you saw the weird spiders again, I was like, wait, those aren't spiders. Those aren't as scary as that other spider that were coming out of bodies in the movie.
You're right. It was a different thing.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And I was like, I thought it was supposed to just be spiders.
I thought it was supposed to be the same thing.
But whatever.
All right. Everyone's freaking out. And they're just trying to come up with a plan. Someone suggests they get in a car and drive off.
Oh, the other thing, the reason they needed to get to the pharmacy in the movie is because someone was burned badly. Sorry, I hadn't flipped my note. Someone got burned very badly because the whole entire fucking store is on fire. And so they now needed stuff to take care of him. And so that's partially why they went over to the pharmacy in the movie.
I think that's the reason they went.
Yes, it is. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't just to be like, okay, we should go figure things out.
Made a lot more sense. I was waiting for someone to be sick or hurt or something in the book. And then no one was. And I was like, oh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Exactly. But whatever.
So everyone's freaking out.
Like, oh, look.
Oh, yeah.
This is where the movie does the Arrowhead Project and the two guys that hung themselves.
Oh.
That's the difference.
It's way later.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, I don't remember it right up there.
Okay, that's why.
So yeah.
It happened. It was just way later.
It happened. It just happens after the spiders.
Okay.
I think, so the one dude is in the web on the wall. And then he like talks to them about the arrowhead.
Oh, yeah.
As the spiders are coming out of his face.
Yep.
And then they're running to get away. And that's when they see the two military dudes who hung themselves.
So everybody's freaking out. They're trying to come up with a plan. You got more.
Yeah. And you'll have to correct me if this is wrong, because now also I don't remember who has said this, but in the movie, they're now talking about how the mist is another dimension. Now it's a ripped a hole in the space time continuum.
Oh, yeah. It's the military guy that was in love with the what's her name girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's like now explaining it to them in detail. And that's what he says it is.
Which we never find out what the Arrowhead Project is.
In the book.
In the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole mystery the entire time.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah.
All right.
Now you can continue.
Now I may go.
Yes.
So you may. They're trying to figure out and come up with a plan. And someone suggests they get in a car and drive. He thinks about it. He agrees. They start getting sneaky snacks because Miss Carmody's going to freak out. And sure enough, she does. And she tosses all their food. And she's like, we need to sacrifice the boy. And so they're trying to kill Billy. And Ollie shot her in the head. And then they leave.
So this happens. But first, there's a whole fist fight between like David's crew who's trying to leave and the religious zealots. And this is how the military kid who was in love with the bad girl dies.
Yeah, because they shove him out and they sacrifice him. And then he gets eaten in the mist.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's with his bad girl again.
Mm-hmm. Now you can be happy ever after.
So on the way to the car, Ollie immediately is sliced in half. Like, no chance at all. And he drops the gun and they all start running. And their party of eight turns to a party of four. And once they're in the car, the spider thing was chasing them. It went away because the door is shut and they can't smell him anymore. David ran out really quick to get the gun. And then they drove to his house to get Stephanie. But there was no way to get to the house. So he just sat there and cried.
In the movie, he tries to get the gun and the gun's on the hood of the car and he's able to get it. The spider thing was a weird like spider scorpion thing that didn't even look scary to me. And I am horrified of spiders. And he actually gets to their house in the movie.
Yep. And he sees her all
spider webbed.
What a bad way to go.
Yep.
So they're driving and they see things in the mist every once in a while. And they get close enough to Boston that the radio station should be working, but they're not. Finally, they run out of gas and he has just to get the courage to siphon some gas. But he's remembering about how in the office back at the store, he found a radio and it said one word. Never tell us what the word is. They just say, says one word. Cool. And then he says he's going to leave this book on a restaurant counter and hopefully one day it gets found. And that's the end of the book. How's the movie end?
First off, when they're driving, I never pictured weird elk monsters in the mist. I always, because we've been hearing about bugs and, you know, pterodactyls, I was picturing those kind of monsters. In the movie, there's this big, like, ent elk monster that's walking around.
Yep.
And then they basically run out of gas and they're like, there's no way to, like, I don't know what we're going to do. And then him and Amanda kind of like look at each other because she's got her gun and he knows it. And they're like, okay, this is probably what we should do. And they're like, well, how do we decide who shoots who? Or like, no, she's like, there's only four bullets and there's five of us. Ironic because their eight went down to four.
I know. Yeah, they have a random extra guy in the rig in the movie.
And so David's like, I'll be the one to deal with figuring out how to kill myself. So he shoots everyone in the car. His son, Amanda, the two old people. And then as he's getting out to have the mist monsters come get him, military comes. And as the military comes, the mist is clearing away.
The freaking lady who left this door at the beginning is there with her kids riding in the little military vehicles and everything. And I'm
should
like,
have followed her.
What the heck? I was so mad. Dude, so like I'm still heated about this.
I can tell.
Freaking, and I'm not the only one. When I looked up mist memes, they're all about this freaking ending.
No, it's a stupid ending.
For once, Stephen King's ending was better than the movies.
It's true.
And Stephen King's ending sucked too.
Yeah. Yep.
No resolution at all.
Just this is what it is.
Dang it.
That's hilarious.
All right. Well, that was it.
Yeah.
IMDb cast 65 people. We have Thomas Jane played David.
I liked him. I thought he was fine.
Yeah. I guess he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't recast, but eh.
Yeah.
Marcia Gay Harden.
Marcia.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Marcia?
Mm-hmm.
Played Miss Carmody.
She was perfect.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't like her at all, but she was good for the role.
She plays...
Not Neil Patrick Harris show?
No.
Oh, that's not the one you were thinking?
No, in 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh.
She plays the person who made Christian how he is, or a mom. The character she plays is one who I hate.
Oh.
And so now she's just someone I hate.
Oh.
Because she played it so well.
She's like in, I think she's in Better Off Ted, which is a TV show I don't watch, but see commercials for all the time. And then isn't she like become Neil Patrick Harris's friend in that one movie or show he's in?
Oh, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I didn't like her in that either. I just don't like her.
That's hilarious.
But I mean, she was a good, crazy.
Oh, I remember her now.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked her in that.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't a bad character. I just don't like her. Yeah, I don't know why. Yep. Sorry.
Marcia.
Yeah. Then we have Laurie Holden played Amanda.
There were so many Walking Dead people. Okay, so many. There were two. But two that I was not expecting.
Oh. Who's the other one?
The woman who leaves the grocery store.
Oh.
Yeah, she's Carol. And then... Why do I feel like this one's name's Amanda in The Walking Dead?
I don't watch The Walking Dead.
Oh, Andrea. God, I say her name. So it's close to Amanda, just not Amanda.
Yeah.
I don't like her in The Walking Dead. And I think because I read the book and I didn't like Amanda in the book.
You didn't like her?
Yeah, but she was fine.
She's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Andre... shoot, how do I say his last name?
Brower?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Played Brent Norton. Oh my gosh, I love him.
I saw him and I was like, oh, I bet Allie loves that.
I do. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I never watched it.
Oh my gosh, it's so freaking funny.
I know.
Why have you not watched it?
What's funny is Andy Samberg is one of my like many loves.
Oh my gosh, you have to watch it then. Oh my gosh. There are seriously episodes. I just started sort of rewatching it like a background show. I freaking was like almost crying laughing. And shows don't do that to me a lot. And I don't even remember what part it. Oh. Oh my gosh. So what's his name? Jake Andy Samberg.
Okay.
He's like got in trouble because he convicted a guy before he had official evidence for him. And they're like, he gets to get out in 48 hours. But Holt, Andre, is like, nope, we're going to make sure we get some on him. So now everybody who had weekend plans has to work overtime, right?
Okay.
Well, so Jake's like, I'm just going to go back there and figure out, like, I'm just going to get more information. They're like, you've been back there so many times. What are you going to do? Annoy him? He's like, yes. And then he goes back there and he's just playing a guitar. And you're just like, yeah, that would be annoying. And then he just goes, ah! And he's just like, starts screaming at him. Oh my gosh. And it's just so unexpected because he just has a straight face and then he does it. It just catches me off guard every time. Oh my gosh. I laugh so hard. Oh my gosh.
And what's funny is I've seen the one episode of New Girl. Because they do the crossover.
Oh, I forgot they do.
Yeah, so I've seen like part.
Yeah, they do the crossover in 99 too. Yeah. So they do it on the other side. Oh my gosh. No, that was a show that, funny enough, I feel like we tried to watch, Cameron and I tried to watch, and he didn't like it.
Okay.
But.
So from the New Girl thing.
Uh-huh.
It felt very much like an SNL skit to me. And like, I can get behind some of their skits, but sometimes I just don't, I'm not here for all of them. So to me, I'm like, I think that's always been my hesitation with it.
Yeah.
But a lot of my friends love it. So I'm always like, I should give it a try. Plus, I love Andy Samberg.
Yeah. I could see certain storylines.
Yeah.
And certain things being, yeah, that seems SNL-y. But they have like actual like plot lines too that are like, oh, that's really cute.
Okay. I'll give it a try.
I think it's fun.
But I might not finish.
That's all right.
I'll see how I go.
Anyways, that was a whole thing.
Yeah.
And then we got Toby Jones as Ollie.
He was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Norm. Chris Owen, Norm, he got eaten. He was the bad the guy.
He was the bad
bag,
guy.
The bag boy. Oh, we gotta do Private Jessup. He's the love interest, the army love interest
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
And that's Sam Witter. And then where's the girl? What's her name? Sally?
Sally, probably. Sally.
Alexa
Davalos.
Was Sally. I mean,
they were all other. Fine.
They were great.
They're the people we talked about.
Yep. So is the theme of the book and the movie same?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Do the characters stay true in the movie to how they are written in the book?
I don't think so.
Nope, not at all.
Mm-mm. What'd you prefer?
Movie.
I prefer the book. I'm wondering if you would have liked the book better.
If it wasn't the dude who read it.
Yeah.
I think so. Or if I had read it myself.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
This was one that I wanted to read myself, but just because timing wise, I needed to get some of our books done. I was like, it would be easier for me if I'm physically reading this book while I listen to this.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So why do you like the movie more? Or is that your why?
That's literally why.
Okay. Mine is I like the book better because the ending freaking sucked in the movie and that ruined the whole thing for me. Well, otherwise, I would have chose the movie, I think.
Also, I like that the movie actually explains what the mist is.
Yeah.
And like why it's there.
Yeah. I think I would have like overall, I like the movie better because it gives more explanation. I did like sort of like the little love scene thing other than it ended awfully and like very quickly.
Yeah.
But the end screwed it all up. Not worth it. I didn't commit my whole...
The end was very strange. It was just such a weird, like... It also then made no sense, because then you're like, well, then what the fuck cleared up the mist?
Yes!
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of a sudden?
I'm like, oh, was it the Xan... whatever the fuck Miss Carmody was saying?
They just had to kill... do sacrifices.
Expiation. Why the hell was I trying to say expungiation?
Ay, ay, ay.
That would make more sense, though, if... He had went and cheated on his wife.
Yeah, that's movie. True. That's true. Because then you atone for your sin.
Yep.
But nope.
Whatever.
Yeah. Would you recommend it to a friend?
No.
Same. Not even the book? Oh, because you didn't like the... Oh, wait. You wouldn't even recommend the book?
Not really.
No. All right. Wow, another one.
I know.
How sad.
I know.
Stephen King.
Come on.
You know, not all can be great.
I know. I guess so. At least this one was just a short story, he worked very hard on it. Sorry.
Uh-huh. No, this one he should have worked harder. Way more. Yeah. Excuse you, sir. Well.
Yep.
If you like our episodes, everyone, maybe you should go check out our website. Offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
We're getting good at reading that fast.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting good at listening that fast?
Are you getting good at typing it that fast?
Ooh. Show us how fast you can type it.
Yeah.
Ready, set, go.
Go.
There you can rate, subscribe, and review. Rate, review, subscribe.
Do exactly that, yep. Everyone.
Yabby dabba doo.
And like I said, just in the mini-sode, I post Spotify polls every week asking which you prefer. We would love it if you all answered.
Even if you don't listen to us on Spotify, follow us on Spotify and then go do the polls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Please.
Yeah. And then we got season 6 listener picks. We got a couple spots left. Get them in.
Mm-hmm.
Because soon we're going to close it down.
Yep, very soon, since we're literally about to start reading those books here any day now.
Yep.
Hallie says that as she's got three magician's books. Yep.
20 hours. Not quite, but.
All right. So then we got money so for you. Oh, this was the one we were talking about at the beginning where Sierra might do it.
I was just going to say, I was like, do I know what it is? No. And then I was like, wait.
So that's our plan. We'll see.
No. Not this Wednesday. Because this Wednesday is the day she comes in. It's the next Wednesday.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So then, no, we have no idea what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we will. That's what we do.
Monday.
Go for it. Monday, we have The Outsider.
Yeah. How's that going to be?
I don't know.
Back-to-back weeks of meh. I wonder if this one will be meh.
I know. What was the first one?
The Body.
Oh, yeah.
We liked The Body.
We did, but it wasn't
amazing. Yeah.
But it was cute. It was a cute. Mm-hmm. It just didn't feel like Stephen King.
Yeah.
But
I feel that.
Let's see if this one feels like Stephen King and is good.
I hope so.
Let's hope.
All right. With that, The Mist went off script.
Bye. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.